coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. And it is about time. It's about time for the coffee break again. And we haven't been with you guys, I think, for 2 weeks. So it's a great blessing for us to be back on air again. And I'm looking forward to the broadcast this evening. I'm looking forward to what the Father is going to say to us and what He has in store for us. So I pray that this has been a blessed last 2 weeks for the bunch of you and that Yahweh has been doing great things in your life. I'm looking forward to just spending this hour and hour and a half with you all. I know Leah is too, and she's sitting smiling, looking at me. And I just want to say this evening that it's such an honor and a privilege for us to always be able to broadcast and just share some time with you. And before we start this evening, and before I ask Leah just to open and share with us and to pray, I just want to make some announcements. The first thing is that we invite you guys to head over to the website and sign up for our day of fasting and prayer, which is on the 15th of August this week, Wednesday, and to put your name down for a slot. You can choose one or two, or you can choose the entire day. It's up to you whether you want to fast and pray for that whole day. But the aim is that we get together as a community like we have done before, and then we pray about the things that the Father lays upon your heart. For you, it might be something different than it is for us. But I believe collectively that we should be praying for one, the nations, for two, for the work of Yahweh and to go forth in this generation. We should be praying for our families, our friends, for the unsaved. But we should also be praying for more of Yahweh. And that's, I think, something that He desires for us, more of His presence. And for Him to fill us with His Ruach so that we can be the hands and feet in this generation. So whatever your prayer requests are and whatever your needs are, let us get together as a community and let's do that. And let's fast and pray on Wednesday. And head over. It's under the community tab, not under the group. You need to go to the community tab, the first one, and hit that. And then you'll be able to add your name. So, Leah, how are you doing? And I think I just said a whole mouthful now. So it's your turn to let us know, how are you?
No, you didn't say a whole mouthful. I just have to let everyone know that Yosef has been battling a really bad ear infection for 2 weeks.
That's right. So I can't really hear.
So he is on some medication, but he's still here and he's still with us. But yeah, just this ear infection.
So what she's trying to say is that I'm kind of here, but I'm not really here. And if I say funny things or I do funny things, yeah, you just got to forgive me.
we are a community of grace, so we're okay.
Praise Yahweh for
but
that.
But yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. We're excited about the prayer on Wednesday. And we know that the last time that we fasted and prayed together was such a blessing. And we just invite everybody to fast with us and to take your prayer slot and to pray. Yes, as Yosef said, about anything and everything that has been laid on your heart, pray in the will of Yeshua. And as we do this as well, please remember the fellow people that you see, even on the coffee break or in the group that you see all the time, and the ones that we know have needs, and that even if you want to put down a prayer request right at the end of this broadcast, as we normally do, we can lift you all up. And of course, we always appreciate prayer for us and this ministry and whatever the Father wants us to do. This week, we actually celebrated our anniversary, 8 years on the 8th of the 8th, 2018. And we believe and know that the Father has us entered into a new season. Not so, yes. So happy anniversary. Mazel tov.
I also think that, like Elias said, it's very important for us to go and have a look every now and again at the prayer request wall, where you can see other people's prayer requests. And those are the things that we should be praying for as a community too. So if you have a prayer request or you have something specific that you would like others to pray for, go to the prayer wall and put it down there. And as a community, we can go and we can pray for one another. And those are also requests that during this day of fasting and prayer that we can really all as a community lift up to the Father. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to be part of the group. We have the group on the website. And I know that there are many members that listen to the Coffee Break that maybe you haven't signed up, or maybe you haven't really head over to the group, but it's a place where we have created an environment where people can share with one another, and where we can put our prayer requests, and where we can just let each other know where we are at, and be able to really pray with one another. So that's what it's about. So if you have a prayer request, a very specific prayer request maybe, that you want the community of believers to pray for during this day of fasting and prayer, use the prayer wall. And then the rest of us can go and view it, and we can all pray for those requests.
Amen. And speaking of prayer, let us open in prayer this evening together. Father, we just thank you so much for this amazing time of your goodness, your joy, and your presence, Father, that we can come together collectively, Father, in your presence. And we are so grateful for that this evening. Father, we pray that you'll remove anything that's in our hearts that prevents us from hearing clearly from you tonight. Father, give us all teachable hearts and hearts that are moldable, Father, hearts that are just yearning for your presence and your spirit, yearning to hear your voice, Father, your message, Father, your goodness and your grace over to us, Father. Thank you. We commit this time to you. Yeshua, we just want to lift your name on high. We want to pray that we can just glorify you in this time, that we can hear your truth and speak your truth. And Father, be exalted in our midst this evening. We thank you and we commit this time to you. Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this week's Torah portion that we just went out of was so amazing. And I know that, you know, every week we have the Torah and it's just so great. And I think that no matter where we're at, and we always say this, that there's going to be something that ministers and speaks to you. And I want to dive right into Deuteronomy chapter 7. And it's right at the beginning. It was right at the beginning of this week's Torah portion. And it's okay if you don't follow the Torah portions. I mean, some weeks I'm in the Torah portion, some weeks I'm not, and more in readings that Father is leading us to read. But I know that being in the Torah portions is good because it's a cycle that we go through. But you know, Deuteronomy 7 verse 17 says something which really, really, I felt that the Ruach really quickened to my spirit to share this evening. And this message and this word that we're going to be sharing this evening is incredibly specific and incredibly good for everybody that is listening, for the fact that you may be facing things in your life or you may face things to come. But the Father has a message for each and every single one of us. And Deuteronomy 7 verse 17 says, "Perhaps you will say in your heart, 'These nations are more numerous than I. How will I be able to drive them out?'" Now, I've purposefully just read that to you instead of reading it in the huge context that it's in. We know, of course, that where we find scripture, we have to look at the context. But for this, you know, we can look at this and say, okay, this is about the Israelites. This is about their journey in the wilderness. This is about Yahweh's prep for the fact that they're going to go into the promised land. And we know, as we said earlier on with the last coffee break we did 2 weeks ago, that Deuteronomy was really a sum up that Moses gave in the last 5 weeks of his life. He, you know, repeats a lot of things, he adds a lot of things, and it's just like his last sort of...
Sounds like me.
No, you don't repeat things. But you do say a lot of good things, like Moses. So it's Moses' last, like... What is that word? This is a word. No, it's not. It's not a doxology, but it is a his last, just, you know, pump of fuel that he's trying to give to these Israelites.
Discourse. His last discourse.
Hey, you go, brother.
Before he enters into that eternal place.
Yeah, it's his last discourse before he's going to leave the earth, and you know, of course, we know that, and we know that he's speaking from Yahweh's heart, and he's saying that they need to obey the commandments. That's the context. But we're not going to look at context this evening, because what Abba Father was sharing with us was really that this has a spiritual application. And that is how we have to approach the word as well. What is the application for my life? And here, you know, Moses is saying to the people, "Perhaps you will say in your heart that these nations are more numerous than I am. How will I be able to drive them out?" And you know, that's a very relevant reality that was facing the Israelites. They were facing huge, huge tasks. Mm. You know, they were in the wilderness, but then they were facing giants and people in the land that they would have to conquer, mountains they would have to face, trials they would experience, and things that would face them in this new era that they were going into. And they would look at this sometimes. We're all human. And they would say in their hearts, these nations are a lot more numerous than I. They're bigger than I. And this even reminds me of when the spies went to spy out the land and they came back with the report. We know that they were obviously, you know, a good report and a bad report. But what they did say was that we saw the people in the land and they were giants. They were really big. And we looked like grasshoppers before them. Now, that is our reality as people. Think about, I don't know if maybe you are going through a trial right now, or there's a mountain that you're facing in your own life. You know, there's many different things that people can face in their lives, and many different trials or mountains that we face. And it could be something in our family, something in our marriage, something in someone else, something at our workplace. It could be the mountain of hopelessness, or a very, very dry season that you've been in for a very long time. Or it could be that the Father has moved you, you know, in the natural or in the spiritual, and you have to find your feet and it looks very hard and it's disturbing, or you've been retrenched, or whatever the personal battle is. It can resemble a mountain, and it can look much bigger. And let's face it, Yusuf, I know even I mean, for us, and I know for everybody listening, sometimes you see yourself as being defeated. And sometimes we live with a defeated mindset. And sometimes we see ourselves in light of the shadow of the mountain. Because when you stand at the foot of a mountain, it is very big. And you're almost overcome by the shadow of the mountain, because it is big.
Right.
And we then we adopt a mindset that says, well, I'm just a grasshopper here. You know, this is a giant thing. I'm a grasshopper. And we are almost like a fish that's plucked out of water, because we are so hopeless. We have no oxygen, no nothing that's going to keep us going. And Moses knew that in the natural, the Israelites would feel like that they would look at the tasks that they had to fulfill and the trials that they would face. And maybe they'd even looked at it in the wilderness like that sometimes the trials were hard. And we know that it was, and they began to moan and complain about many things, but it was because they had adopted that mindset of, I'm actually less, and I actually am just a grasshopper in the sight of what I'm facing. And I just wanted to encourage anybody that is really feeling like that this evening. You know, I know that at different times, one of the things that we can be sort of promised in this life is that we will have good times and we will have bad times.
You know, I think that's something, Aaliyah, that we forget. And I'd like you to say it again. We will have good times and we will have hard times. The scriptures tell us that over and over, that we will have good times and that we will endure some kind of trial and some kind of suffering, and that in all of these things it builds us for the endurance, it builds us for perseverance, it builds us for the things that we need to go through. And I think, you know, sometimes we forget that you know, the good times are good, and we tend to always focus on the good times. Not many people want to share with others the hard times, but it's the hard times that actually can encourage others to know that, even like you said, even though you're standing at the mountain and you feel like a speck, you literally feel like a little midget when you're looking at that mountain, that, hey, you know what, even though it's a hard climb to the top, when you get to the top, you'll have, as you said, those good times. You'll have something to remember. But Yahweh wants us to know that He's with us. And personally, I'll honestly say that, you know, I think that as the body of Messiah Yeshua, sometimes we are not always so open about the things that we're going through. And we are not always so, how do I say, we don't always create an environment as believers where we can be vulnerable with one another and say, hey, you know what, I'm in a place where I'm standing at the mountain and I'm struggling a bit, but I know that at the end, when I get to the top, things will be okay. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we need other believers to maybe always give you advice, because, you know, we always want to point a finger and say, oh, let me tell the person what to do. But you might not have the right advice for that person's situation. So that's why, as a community, it's not about giving advice. It's actually about, just as you know, when Joshua was busy fighting and Moses was just standing. He wasn't saying, hey, you know what, go to the left, go to the right, do your sword that way. No, he wasn't. He just stood and raised his hands up and he carried on holding his hands up so that, you know, so that the battle could be won. And that's maybe what we need to, as a community, do sometimes. Not be like, hey, you know what, swing your sword to the left, swing your sword to the right. But instead we should be saying, hey, you know what, let me actually hold up your arms. Let me actually pray. Let me actually be the person in the background that's supporting you in the way that I know how, because I don't actually know what your situation is like. I just know that maybe you're going through a hard time and the mountain's in front of you. So at the end, I'm hoping that there'll be a good report, but that can only happen if we support one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. And that's why a community, and I know that there's a lot of you listening that you're crying out and you're saying, Yahweh, I don't have community. You know, I don't have a place to fellowship. So that's why these times on the coffee break and things online are very important to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a community, we must remember that we don't always have to say, hey, this is what you should do or do this or that. But let's just hear. Let's just listen. Sometimes it's good to just listen and then take what we hear and go and pray about it for others.
It's about being present.
Amen.
It's about being present over being the leader. And I know, I mean, this is that the area that I'm so passionate in, about being present with people. And about not giving answers. And a lot of people that would come to us, you know, to share their problems with us, that would come and they would sit and I would listen. And then they would many times want that. And then when they wanted advice, they would say, okay, Yosef, what do you have to say? Because then they were asking for your advice because you're a kind of person that would like to give advice and would like to share that. Whereas we need those two. We need the balance of when a person invites us for advice and when a person just invites us to journey with them. And I remember when I was a trauma counselor many years ago, I remembered being present in many people's, we would have to respond to trauma. And the purpose was to be present in that person's suffering. What can you say to someone that's lost their child? What can you say to someone that's had someone murdered? What can you say to someone that's been raped? It's wrong for us to give advice on top of the trauma, because trauma has to be processed and pain has to be processed. And I think that's what we don't realize, that it is a process. And even when we look at the mountains, when we say maybe our mountain right now is depression, that depression has to be processed. When we look at fear, maybe there's a fear of something, that fear has to be processed. When we look at maybe you've lost your job and you're facing retrenchment, or you're facing a hurdle inside yourself, you're struggling with your children and you don't know, you know, how to overcome that, or you're struggling in your prayer life, you don't know how to overcome that, your faith is going through a crisis, your finances, your marriage, it has to be processed. Amen. It has to be worked through. It can't just be
there's a solution and
there's
do
a solution
this.
Yeah. Yeah, also Yosef, what this requires is for us to take this and to take whatever we're going through and to go to the Father and to stop striving. One of the big things that we've learned in our society is that we have to work and that we have to perform and that we have to do. And the more that we do, the more we will achieve. And the more that we work hard, the more that we will have. And we've become a society where we're very, very much, and this is Western societies. I mean, there are societies that don't function like this, but our Western society that we all, most of us inhabit, is very much based on goal-driven and hustle and get there. And what this means is that we've become spiritual people that want to aid Yahweh in our healing, so, or aid Yahweh in our depression. So, okay, Father, I entrust this depression to you. And the next day you're up and you're striving and you're painting and you're getting frustrated and you're getting angry and you're working from this place and you're doing all the stuff and it's like messed up and you're striving and the striving turns to frustration and the frustration turns to greater depression, where it's about, yes, there are things that you must do to help yourself out of it. I mean, you can't just sit there and be like, okay, God's going to do everything. But when we're facing mountains, we have to invite Yahweh in and we have to say, okay, Father, I can't change my situation. I've just lost my job. There's nothing I can do. Yes, I'm going to look for other jobs and I'm going to put my CV out there. But Father, you're going to open the door and come to a place of peace. You know, actually in Deuteronomy 7, verse 18, he actually goes on to tell us how we're supposed to deal with anything that we face. So he actually says, you know, okay, yeah, we have this. Okay, so what happens if the people say, okay, these nations are greater than me, and how am I going to drive them out? I'm not going to be able to drive them out, and everything's bad, and rah, rah, rah. And then in verse 18, you know, Yahweh actually gives us an answer, and I'm going to break down the answer for you. It actually says this. It says, do not fear them. You shall remember what Yahweh your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. That's what he says. So the first thing that Yahweh wants us to do when we're facing our mountains and our valleys and we're facing our hard times and our things is that the first thing that he wants us to do is remember.
Sure.
So he says, remember what Yahweh Elohim did to Pharaoh. So he says, and then he goes on in verse 19, he says, remember the great signs that you saw. So I wrote in the Nehemiah devotional that I wrote quite a long time ago on the website, to build an altar of remembrance. We have to remember. And I think that when you're going through hard times, and I know this so much about myself.
I was just about to say that too. I was about to say, hey, you know what? When we're going through hard times, the hardest thing to do is to remember. Mm-hmm. I think you remember the other hard times instead of the good times. You tend to think like, oh man, this is happening again. So instead of looking at the good things, you start to remember the bad things. And it just starts to, like you're saying, piling up, that eventually your little mountain has turned into a massive one. And you're looking and thinking, man, what's going on? And Yahweh is trying to say to you, just remember the good things. Remember the things that I've done. Remember the promises. Remember the miracles that I've done. And you know, Elia, you're speaking this evening, but if it's speaking to me, then I believe it's speaking to everybody. And we all tend to be like this. We all tend to forget the good things. And I think as human beings, and just to say shortly, as human beings, we have this tendency that we quickly forget the goodness of Yahweh. Mm. We tend to quickly forget that everything that we have is because of His goodness. You know, even if you don't remember the things that He's done maybe in your life, which I believe most of us do, we have remembrance of just the fact that we can wake up in the morning and have the breath of Yahweh, the breath of life in us to live a daily life. You know, that in itself is something to remember. And I think that the enemy, that's what he loves to do. He loves to make that little mountain, just like with Caleb and Joshua and the spies. You know, the report of the spies that came back was totally different because of their perception. The enemy likes to deceive our perception. He likes to put, you know, I did a teaching a while back about perception, about glasses. I remember with the glasses that I got. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we're looking through the lenses that are sometimes worldly instead of spiritual. And we're looking through things and we're actually looking through the eyes that the enemy is trying to place on us by a worldly perception. So we see things and we're like, hey, you know what? That mountain is massive. But when we actually put our spiritual glasses on, we begin to see how that mountain is actually so small. And how Yahweh is standing on the top of the mountain saying, hey, you know what, my child, come up here. And this is speaking to me because just today, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I feel sometimes like I'm at the bottom of the mountain and there's a cloud on top of the mountain. But the more I'm striving to get up the mountain in my own strength, the more the cloud's coming down. And it's kind of like the cloud is supposed to be, it's supposed to be refreshing. But in my case, it kept on feeling like, hey, you know what? This cloud is depressing. It's pushing me down. And it's actually making me suffocate that I'm not actually able to breathe. And Yahweh's kind of saying to me, like, put the oxygen of remembrance on so that you can remember. And when that oxygen's on, you can go through that cloud. And when you go through the cloud, think about a plane going through the clouds. Mm. When it gets above that storm, that's just blue sky, and you begin to see the sun, and you begin to see all this beautiful stuff. But when you look out and you look down, you just see the clouds again. And you know that when you're going down, what happens when you go down to land under those clouds again? Turbulence, and you start to rock, and you start. It's like a warning sign of saying, hey, you know what? You're heading for danger. And I think it's exactly how Yahweh is with us, that we go on the mountain, and then we tend to focus again with our worldly eyes, with the vision of the enemy. And then we go down again and it's turbulence. And some of us have gotten to the point where the turbulence has rocked us so much that it's now just become normal. And we're kind of like hitting rock bottom and the plane's about to crash. And we need to say to ourselves, no, we mustn't live in that place. We need to live in the overflow. But It's the perception, Ilya, the perception. And I'm speaking to myself. My own perception at times can fall short. And I tend to forget or not remember the things that Yahweh has done. And you know, there's so many things that Yahweh has done in our lives as believers. And I think that that's what he wants. He wants us to take hold so that when times are tough and they're going to get tougher, that we remember those things so that we don't live. You know, I'm tired of living on the bottom floor. I want to live in the penthouse. I want to live on the top. I want to live on the, you know, we have a great mountain here in Cape Town called Table Mountain. Mm-hmm. And it literally looks like a table, like a flat top mountain. It's huge and it's flat. And, you know, I want to sit at that mountain tabletop with the King. I want to sit there and I want to eat and I want to feast with him. I'm tired of looking at the bottom, looking up and having the cloud pushing me down. So, yeah, I really believe this evening, remembrance. Put on that oxygen mask of remembrance.
You know, I think as I sit here, you know, I just also so felt the Father say to me that remembering is actually a holy task.
Amen.
And that because he says in Exodus 20, when he gives us the commandments, what does he actually say about the Sabbath? I mean, the Sabbath is really was holy to Yahweh, and it was ordained right in the beginning of the Garden of Eden. What does he say about the Sabbath? He says two things about the Sabbath. He says, remember the Sabbath day and observe the Sabbath day. It's holy when we remember Sabbath, and then when we remember it, it fills us with goodness, and then we can outwardly observe it. So here too, it's about this, remember what Yahweh has done. Remember the miracles, and I see this in a very practical way. I'm a visual person. So I see this as we, I think, need to, as believers, make a big board somewhere in our kitchen. And every time Yahweh answers a prayer or he does something or he intervenes, even if we haven't prayed, or he does a miracle, or like in our case, you know, many few years ago when we wanted to go to Ghana, we didn't know where we were getting the money from, and we woke up one morning and someone phoned us and said, hey, in the middle of the night, Yahweh woke me up and told me, you've got to go somewhere. This is the amount of money I got to give you. I'm going to do it right now. And it was the exact amount of money. Every time now we worry about whether we need to go on another mission trip, maybe we need to remember that.
Amen.
And we need to put these things onto our board. We need to pin them up, and we need to write them down and pin them up. So that our flesh, Yosef, I feel like our flesh wards against the memories of what Yahweh has done. Amen. I know that for myself. There are, when I'm going through sometimes hard times, I try and remember in my mind what Yahweh has done for me. And there's a part of me, hey, that pushes those memories away. And that says, no, I don't want to remember those things because God is not going to come for me now.
It's easier to wallow in your stress.
He's not going to come. Mm. You're not going to get through this. He's not going to save you again. And sometimes we can attribute that voice to the devil, but sometimes that's just our flesh.
Amen.
It's just us, and there's a part of your heart that's hurting because Yahweh hasn't come through for you yet.
Amen.
And you're on day last day, and you've got 1 hour, and you've got nothing left. And the Father hasn't come through for you again, and you don't want to be in that place, but you're hurting and you're paining inside there, and then your heart is raw and it's sore, and your voice, your flesh voice, is saying to you, don't, you know what, he did that thing for you last week, he's not going to do it for you now. Just forget it. Just forget what Yahweh says. And that is why the Bible also tells us, what must we do?
Remember.
We must take our flesh captive. And we take our minds captive to the will of Messiah Yeshua. And we make it captive and we say, no, man, fleshy, you just die there beneath the spirit. And I'm just taking you captive. And Yahweh will. And we speak out the remembrance miracles that he's done. Yes, he's provided for me before. Yes, he will do it again. Yes, he's healed me before. Yes, he will heal me again. Yes, he's redeemed me before I'd my whatevers, he will do it again. Yes, I lost my job before, but he's going to give me another one. Yes, I've lost my job, but he's actually got a plan. You didn't lose your job. He released you from your job.
Mm.
You know, I'm facing this cloud because it's here for a purpose, which we're going to get into later. And the first thing that we need to, Yahweh is giving us tools right here. We're going to unpack these tools this evening. But the first one that we've unpacked is remember.
Amen.
Hey?
Let's say it again. Remember. Make a sign board. You know, that word sign, it's also, you know, throughout the scriptures, I remember how Yahweh tells the Israelites, remember these things. Let them be as a sign unto you. That's what it needs to be. Markers. We need to, you know, you always watch, like, you know, the cartoons and things and how these princesses get taken captive and then they're busy tearing their clothes or they're taking something and they're throwing it out so that the prince can come and find them. But that's the truth of how it should be. We should be making markers, not only for ourselves, but for those who are to come that we're going to share with later in life, so that we can point them in the right direction. So when someone else in our congregation or in our community or in our family or wherever is going through the same kind of thing, we can go back to the signs and we can show it to them and say, hey, you know what, this is the way that you can receive freedom.
Imagine you have that board up in your kitchen or wherever and someone comes to visit you and they're sitting having a coffee with you and they're like, what is all this about? You know?
Like, what a great testimony.
Let me tell you the good things that the Father's done. And as you said, Joseph, it can really encourage someone else in their trial, because I know for a fact from what I was saying about trauma counseling, I was working with a center, we weren't allowed to mention spiritual things, only if the patient you were seeing would mention something to you. And 100% of the time they would mention something about God, because when people are in trauma or in a bad situation, they want to reach out to Yahweh, they want to reach out to God. And people maybe don't see that as a good thing, like, oh, they're using God. It is a great thing, because they're asking you, and even if they're not a believer but they're going through a hard time and you have this board up, you can say, well, let me tell you about what Yahweh, you know, this God Yahweh that I serve, kind of sharing with you. Well, let me tell you about this time when I was sick. And it says on my board that he healed me. These are the scriptures that he gave me to say that, you know, I will live and not die. I will speak of your truth. This is what he said when I was lying there on that bed. I thought I was going to die. This is what he said. I've survived cancer, or I lost this job. He released me, but this is the job that I got. This is every time that I've prayed. Like, I've thought of this often, Yosef. Every time when we get on the road, we pray and we say, you and I, Father, protect us today because we've got to travel far, whatever. And he does every time. And every time I come home, I'm just reminded that he answered my prayer. And sometimes we can overlook that, but he's answering my prayer to keep me safe on the road. Imagine every day that I put that on my board and say, amen, he answered my prayer to keep me safe. Imagine what a testimony. But not only to others, come on, to me, to know that, wow, he's going to do this. So remember, which brings us to the point where let's go to a song. Let's let it marinate. The song is called Do It Again by Elevation Worship. We pray that you'll enjoy it. When we come back, we're going to keep on unpacking these tools.
Amen.
Never will forget. We won't forget your mercy, God. We won't forget your grace. How can we forget? You moved when you didn't have to move. And you made a way. Yes, you made a way. So we rest in you. We rest in you.
Welcome back to the coffee break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yosef. And you know what? We were like, what? During that song, because we pray about the music that we play on the coffee break. And, you know, this evening we were led to the songs that we're going to play. And this one was lower down. And I just felt like we needed to play it now. And we played it. And it, I still said to Yosef, what is this song about? Because I've never really listened to the song, and it's everything that we're talking about. Yeshua is good, and he is faithful, and his word is faithful, and he is good. And amen and amen. Well, you know what? We are talking about remembering. Now, Yosef, we are unpacking these tools for when we face our mountains and our trials. And you know, the first thing we said was remembrance. But let's move on. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 21, it then says this. You shall not be broken before them, for Yahweh, your Elohim, is among you. He is a great and awesome God. Now, think about it like this. During our trials, now we're going through something really hard, and there's many things that we face. We've remembered Yahweh's past miracles. But look at this. You know, the Father, he's just love, and he's just encouragement, and he's just goodness to us, that he actually is giving us a promise right there. And it's very unique. He's actually saying, you know what? You can see yourself as being small, and maybe sometimes you'll have this grasshopper glasses on where you're going to see yourself like a grasshopper, and you're going to feel like you're not good enough. But he comes in with love, and it's a reassurance, and he says, you shall not be broken before them. And why is it that we won't be broken? You see, this is where it changes. This is where our perspective has to change about our trials. He says, you will not be broken. Why? Because I am Yahweh your God. Yahweh your God is among you. And then it says he's a great and awesome God. The reason why we will not be broken is because we have a living hope. And that living hope is Yeshua. Amen. And it is the fact that I'm not going to be broken through my trial. I can get through this any way he wants me to. Why? I'm not going to be broken because the God that I serve, he's a great and awesome God. We have this reality of that. Who he says he is. And the word is full of the characteristic of Yahweh. And sometimes we need to just go into the word and we need to focus on the character of Yahweh. And the character of Yeshua is that he is amazing. I mean, he's the God that created the universe. The reason why you will not be broken in this trial, and I just proclaim that over you tonight, is because your God is a great and awesome God. But the point is that you have to go to him and walk through the trial with him. You have to go to him and say, Father, I'm facing a mountain. I need you. The reason why it's not going to fall on me is because you are a great and awesome God. And then something else happens. Then these are the tools. That's the second tool. Know that he is a great and awesome God. Know that you will not be broken, but you have to walk through it with him.
You know, Aaliyah, I think sometimes we see, like you said, we see the word trial in the wrong context or in the wrong way. I think sometimes we need to see it as like, you know, how fire is put onto a mineral, like onto gold, for example, and how that fire then removes the impurities and it leaves the good substance behind. And that's what the Father wants to do with us. When we are with him, it's like a tempering. It's almost like when I think of temper, I think of how you make it stronger, how the fire actually gets heated up so that the metal can become what it needs to be. So then in the end, it can withstand the forces and the elements of nature against it. For example, like gold. Think about gold on your finger or gold ring, how that lasts against the elements of the world. And I think that's what the Father is trying to show us, that even though you're going through a trial and what you're going through, it's to make you stronger, to make you able. And it's only, like you said, it's those, the only time that you can actually have that happen is when we take hold of Yeshua and say, hey, you know what? What is it, Father, that you're showing me? How am I going to get through this? I can't do it on my own. So therefore, and that's, I think, what the Father wants. He wants us to get to the point where we realize that in our own strength, we're not going to be able to do it. And I think we as human beings, we always want to try and get through our trials on our own or go to psychologists and to this and to that and to all different kinds of places first, instead of going to the Father and saying, Father, I am broken, but I know that it's only you that can put me back together. I know that it's only you that can help me get through this and show me how. And it's not always easy. I'll be honest, it's not always easy to do that because, like you said, we have our flesh. It's not even the enemy, it's our flesh that's telling us, man, he's not going to talk to you today. And
I think that comes down to trust.
Amen.
And I think that because I really feel like because we're so hurt in this world, every single one of us will have our trust broken at some point in our lives.
That's right.
And maybe many of us will have our trust broken numerous amount of times. I know in my own life that I've had my trust broken more times than I can remember. But I know that Yeshua heals that. And as time goes on, he does. He heals that. You're all good. But because we can't, the truth of the matter is it feels in this life as though you can't always trust people fully. Because people are not always what they seem to be.
Most of the time, they're never what they seem to be.
No, but the fact of the matter is that Yeshua wants us to trust him 100% because he is exactly what he says he can be and who he is. And he says in his word that he's not like man. He doesn't lie. And he says that he's not like man because he doesn't change his mind. So when he gives us a promise or something, he won't change his mind. Mm. And when he gives us a promise, he's not lying. He's not going to be like marriages, for example. It's like, oh, I love you till death do us part, health and wealth and sickness and all that jazz. And then sickness hits or the money dries up or, oh, I just don't feel like I'm in love with you anymore. Things break down. And the trust and the promises are broken and people are broken and people that are supposed to protect and nurture life end up abusing their children and trust is broken and people that say they're your friends break you down or stab you in the back. These things are reality for all of us as people that sojourn on this earth. And because we feel it in our flesh tries to protect us. So therefore, we don't always surrender to Yeshua because he wants that 100% trust. But he's also a beautiful Elohim in that he will minister to us in that and he will woo us to himself and show himself to be trustworthy. Even though he doesn't really have to, he loves us and he understands. Mm. The Bible also tells us we need to remember that it says that he remembers our form. He remembers our frame. He remembers we just dust. He remembers our humanity. And he doesn't get hard on us. He's like, okay, I'm going to help you in those places because I want you to trust me. So, which brings us to our next point. You know, we have here this promise from the Father that we're not going to be broken in our trials if we go through it with him remembering who he is. And then it goes on to say in verse 22-24, which is really great. He's speaking to the Israelites and he says this. He says, Yahweh your God will thrust these nations from before you little bit by little bit. You will not be able to annihilate them quickly, lest the beasts of the field increase against you. But Yahweh your God will deliver them before you, and he will confound them with a great confusion until they are totally destroyed. He will deliver their kings into your hand, and you shall cause their name to perish from underneath the heavens. No man will stand up against you until you have completely destroyed them. I mean, if I was one of the Israelites standing there, I would be like, yes, first pump in the air and be like, doo, 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 doo. You know what this speaks to me about? Yay. This speaks to me about even now in my own life right now as I sit here, what is Yahweh actually promising them? He's actually promising total victory. This is not just like, okay, you're going to just annihilate them and then he's going to be your next door neighbor. This is like, you're going to go in, you're going to take them out, you're going to take their cities, you're going to just destroy them. I mean, the name is not even going to be remembered. Mm. What is he saying to us? If we walk through anything with him, you know, it's not going to turn out the way that we sometimes think it will turn out. But it will turn out for a great victory. I think of someone that's dying of cancer in a hospital, for example. Now, I want to mention this because I know people that this has happened to. And so someone is standing, a family member who really believes in Yeshua, is watching another family member pass, died to cancer. And this person that they're watching pass away and slowly fade is a devout follower of Yeshua and is a righteous person. The complete victory that this healthy individual expects is that this person that's dying, who's so faithful and righteous, will be healed. Not so. That is what we want. But that may not be Yahweh's will. And that's also something that we need to come to terms with. That sometimes the way that we imagine it to turn out is not going to be the way that it happens. But I've heard many, many testimonies of beautiful people that have, you know, followed Yeshua with everything and have passed away to diseases. And I've also heard the testimonies that have come forth about their life and the testimonies of people that have been saved through their death and people's lives that have been touched through them passing away. No matter what our situation is, Yosef, no matter what the outcome actually looks like, we imagine it to be different than maybe it will come out of, but total victory will be ours in Messiah Yeshua. We don't know what that total victory may look like today because it may turn out differently. And I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm trying to be very real because this is something that I've walked a personal journey with in asking Father about a lot of these things because I've been through sickness and I've been through hard times. I've been through some very difficult times and I've also walked with people who have lost babies inside their wombs that I've had to go sit with them by the hospital and I've had questions asked of me that as a young person I couldn't answer until I went before the Father for many years and asked him, what is this about? You know, why doesn't everybody that prays for healing get healed? Because the Father has a unique plan and purpose. Your victory will be unique to you and your walk and your journey in Messiah Yeshua. That does not mean that your victory, even if it doesn't turn out the way that you think it should turn out, doesn't mean that won't be for your best. It will be absolutely for your best. No matter if we have to walk through illness or we have to walk through loss, the Father can turn it into something that is absolutely going to benefit not only your life, but the generations to come after you. I'm reminded of Ruth. I've been so in the book of Ruth and just like, Yahweh, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? But one of the greatest things that I see in the book of Ruth is that she lost so, so much. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, became a bitter woman because of what she lost. But together they experienced a victory that enabled them to become actually the grandmamas of the Messiah who would come. Because Ruth eventually would marry Boaz and Naomi would nurse their child Obed. And Obed became the father of Jesse, who became the father of David, who eventually we know is the lineage of Messiah. We don't know. We can encounter loss, but it doesn't have to be the end of our story. It can be the beginning of a different story. And that is just really what I failed to say. And then to lastly say the very last tool that the Father actually gives.
The fourth one, right?
Yes, the fourth one in Deuteronomy 7 is he goes on after he says they're going to have complete victory, which we claim even for ourselves today. He goes on from verse 25, and I'm not going to read it, but he actually talks about carved images. He actually says there that you must not bring an abomination into your home. The carved images of the gods that you're going to, of the people that you're going to annihilate, you must not be ensnared by these things, for these things are abominations. What is Yahweh actually saying at the end of this? He's saying, after you've remembered, after my love has covered you and encouraged you, after I've given you complete victory, you must not do what? Something that many people do, and that is forget Yahweh and ascribe our victory to ourselves or to ascribe our victory to something else. The medication, the doctor, the surgeon, the chemotherapy, all those things are good, for example, or ascribe our victory to the fact that someone gave us money or someone bailed us out or we happened to sell something at the right time and we got this money and it helped us, or my great CV got me the job. No, because what does Yahweh say? These things will be a snare to you. If we ascribe our victories and things that we overcome and the mountains that we stand on top, you know, you say you're standing, you're going through this great trial, and at the end of it, you're standing on a mountain and Yahweh decides to bless you with winning an award for something, for example, that you struggled with or whatever, then you're standing on the mountain and you can't say that because I was so great or because I did this great thing, it goes to me. No, we need to say that
I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people do that though, Leah.
Yeah.
I think that we forget so quickly. As human beings, we forget so quickly, and we, like you're saying, we, you know, even for example, you mentioned, let's just say, for example, you know, Yahweh uses somebody to come across your life to give you what you need, whether it might be finances, whether it might be a lift to the shop or whatever it might be. And in our minds, we so often forget that it's actually Yahweh that used that person as a tool for your benefit. But then we turn around and be like, oh, okay, so-and-so blessed me and so-and-so did this. But in the greater scheme of things, Yahweh is the one that used. He uses people as his channel and as his means to do things for his servants. And we tend to forget that. We tend to so quickly fall back into the way that it was. You know, and that, you know, you see it often, like with many things. Not only in our lives, for example, but even when people have an spiritual encounter with the Father and their lives are changed. Maybe they go, you know, on a retreat somewhere for like a festival time or something like that. And there's this time where we get richly blessed by the Father. And then we so quickly go back to the way that things were. I think as human beings, that's what we do. We forget. And that's why he started off with, don't forget. Number one, he said, don't forget. And it's kind of like the ending part again is another, don't forget.
Give honor where it's due, and that Amen. Honor belongs to Yeshua.
To Yahweh. Amen.
And you know, lastly, we know that when the Torah was written, and even on the scrolls today that we use in the synagogues, they don't have chapters and verses, and so this chapter actually continues on. And I want to end off this evening with reading what we now find in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, which says again, it says, you shall remember the entire road upon which Yahweh your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. So he says, you know what, when we go through the trial, no matter how long it takes or what's happening in our life, we must remember the entire road that we have walked with him. Why? He gives us three reasons why we have to remember it. He says, remember these 40 years in the wilderness that I've walked with you and through this road. He says, because I've done this, why? To afflict you, number one, to test you, number two, and to, number three, know what is in your heart, whether you would observe my commandments or not. So Yahweh is saying that the reason why sometimes we go through these trials, Yosef, is so that he can afflict us, test us, and know our hearts. And you know, it's exactly like you said earlier on. We think of affliction and trial as something that's bad. That's right. But it's in our hard times where the truth is really made more profound in our lives. It's in our hard times where we are pushed to know, can we actualize the truth? And if we say we believe in Yeshua, if we proclaim, you know, God is faithful, if we proclaim that he is good and all-knowing and beautiful and awesome, and I serve him and I honor him and I worship him and I'm sold out to him and I'll die for him and I'll whatever, if we proclaim all those things, which we often do, it is in our hard times where those things are realized. Will we really, in our testing, in our entire road, do we put Yahweh to the test? He's testing and afflicting and checking out what's in our hearts. And you know what David says in the Psalms? It's one of my favorite Psalms. He says, Yahweh, test me, try me, see my anxious thoughts. And he says, test my heart and see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me on the path that is good, that is holy. You can only say, Yahweh, test my heart, see if there's anything bad in it, if you know that you've actually made your heart pretty pure and that Yahweh is not going to be leading you. Because David, you know, he really, if you think about it, he really trusted Yahweh. To be able to say something like that is to know that you really trust that Yahweh will see your heart and know that maybe there isn't anything in it. And if he does find something bad in it, that what he's going to do, the test, the affliction, and the knowing will be for your benefit. And you know what? Lastly, here's the truth. That he says that we have to remember this road that we walk on and this trial that we go through, because in it he's going to afflict us and test us and know it and know us. But then he says, and I really encourage you to read this for yourself, you know, in verse 3, 4, and 5, because I'm just going to paraphrase. He says, you know, there's a reason why he afflicted you. It says that in this wilderness, Yahweh actually let them be hungry. He let them know hunger. He let them know hunger pains. And you know that dizziness you get when you haven't eaten because you're like, you know, hitting the wall, glucose, whatever, bang. You know,
hyperglycemia.
You know, I'm going to let you know hyperglycemia now. And they're all like, oh, you're such a bad Elohim. But he's like, you know why I'm going to let you know hunger? So that I can give you something. He says it in verse 3. I'm going to give you something that no one has ever known before. I'm going to give you manna. And he says it in verse 3 that your fathers didn't know this, and no one else will know it afterwards. That is why they had to keep a bit of it in a jar and put it in the ark, because no one would ever know that kind of food ever again. No one would ever know it before them, and no one would ever know it after them. So what does that say to us, Yosef? I'm going to let you know hunger in your test, because I'm going to give you something that no one else will ever have. I'm going to give you something that no one else will ever, ever be able to receive. So Yahweh, let us know hunger, so that you can give us something that you have destined only for us to receive. And if I wasn't hungry, I wouldn't have known the manna. I wouldn't have known that. Also, he says that I want to give you the manna, but I also want you to know that man will not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh. So you know hunger, why? So I can give you something that no one else will ever know, but so that I can also teach you that only I can provide for you. Amen. And that only when you're one with me can you truly be filled. Imagine learning that. Imagine being able to learn all of that through the test that you go through. And he says in verse 4, he says, he talks about the garments, he talks about swollen feet, and he says that even in the 40 years, your garment didn't wear out. That's a miracle. Yosef, come on.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, you buy a garment from the shop today, and within like a month,
that's right,
the thing has got that fluff on. It can't go through the first wash. It shrunk. The dye has run out. I mean, what
shoes wear out. Everything's wear out.
What kind of clothes did they have on? You see, we can't attribute the glory to the clothes. We attribute the glory to Yahweh.
Amen.
He says here, why did I lead you 40 years through the wilderness with the same clothes on and the same shoes on? And those aren't Birkenstocks. Those are like sandals you bought in Egypt. So that you would know that no matter what I give you, it is good. And that no matter where I lead you, I'm not going to let your garment wear out. I'm not going to let your shoes shrink for you. And your swollen feet, that it's not going to happen. You know, you got these sandals on that you're going to wear for 40 years. It's to know the goodness of Yahweh and to live in it. And to lastly, he says in verse 5, it's actually so that you, he says here, you should know in your heart that just as a father chastises his son, so Yahweh chastises you. Why does he chastise us? Because he knew that there was a future glory awaiting the Israelites, and that they would need to be a certain kind of people through the wilderness journey to inherit what the future had for them. Mm. That was the promised land, where they wouldn't know manna, where they would be able to get new clothes, and they would be able to live in houses, and they wouldn't live a nomadic life anymore. They would be settled in homes, with homes and vineyards that they didn't build, and that they didn't tend, and that they didn't plant. They would have everything given to them, but lest their hearts turn away, which we know their hearts did. But Yahweh was trying to prepare them in the wilderness for the glory that they would receive in the promised land. And that speaks to us, Yosef. If we don't allow our trials of our wilderness to do what it's supposed to do in our lives, then when we get to the promised land and when we have everything that we need, our hearts may just be led astray like the Israelites were.
You know, Leah, you were speaking about, you know, the manna, and as you were saying that, I remembered that song that we played once on the coffee break, where it said that, you know, Yahweh, if I hadn't gone through the wilderness, then I wouldn't know the goodness. And that's exactly how it is. If we do not go through the hard times, then how will we ever know the goodness of Yahweh? Mm. If we don't endure through the hard times, then we will never really know what the other side is like. Mm. And it's not that Yahweh is trying to punish us. It's not that he's a bad Elohim. He's doing these things so that our hearts, that we will see what is in our hearts, and that we'll surrender those things to him. And that as we surrender those things to him, that we will receive newness of life, and that we will receive, as you said, something for this journey in this life that we might be given, that someone else might never ever have. Mm. You know, Yahweh wants to give us what we need for our life journeys. And sometimes it takes us having to be stripped away from the things that we so rely on, like our cell phones, our computers, our finances, our life policies, and all these things that we have, which in this life are good. There's things that we have that Yahweh's given us, but we need to use the tools that he's given us for good. But unfortunately, sometimes it saps us. And Yahweh then comes along and he says, you know what, my son, my daughter, because I love you, I'm going to put you through this so that you can actually see how far away from me you actually are, or how far away from the plan and the will and the purpose that I have for your life, so I can bring you back on track. And he wants to give us good things. You know, Elia, when I think about the manna, I think about it in the sense of how Yahweh wants to bless us with spiritual things. That was a, you know, that was a heavenly thing that came down out of heaven to the people, but it sustained them. And that's exactly what Yahweh wants to do. He wants to give us heavenly things. He wants to give us spiritual things that will sustain us in ways that our cell phones can't, that our TVs can't, that our earthly relationships with people cannot sustain us. Yahweh wants to give us things from out of heaven that will sustain us in ways that we have never seen before. And that's what we need. We need the sustainability that comes from Him. We need the spiritual food and the spiritual insight that Yahweh has for us. And sometimes that can only happen when we go through some trials and some tribulation, because in the end it produces in us that which is left to endure. So, you know, Elia, I really want to say thank you this evening for sharing with us what was on your heart from the Father. It really blessed me. I know that it's going to bless a lot of people still as they listen to this broadcast. And I'd like us to go to a song by Phil Wickham, and it's called Wild River. You know, I almost misread that because my microphone is right in front of my eyes. And like my wife said, I've been taking some medicine, and I almost was going to say Wild Boar. But anyway, it's not Wild Boar. It's the Wild River. So praise Yahweh for that. Hey, perception is very, very important.
And reading is important.
That's right.
You know, Phil Wickham is really awesome. He sings some great music. This is from his new album that just came out this month. The album is called Living Hope. The song is called Wild River, not Wild Boar. And we would like to invite you here, right, to put down your prayer requests or to say anything, make a proclamation, declaration. And just be. And we just want you to enjoy the song. When we come back, we're going to pray together, close off the coffee break. And so just enjoy.
There is a fountain that never runs dry, forever flows with water of life. You never stop moving, you never stop moving. When your river runs, everything lives. And where your river goes, we'll never thirst again. You never stop moving, you never stop moving. Your mercy flows like
That's such a great, great song. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us on the coffee break this evening. And it's been such a blessing to be with all of you and to be sharing this time in Yahweh's presence and just hearing his word and his message as he wants to share it with our hearts. And so, yes, if I would like to ask you this evening if you would pray for the prayer request and close off for us.
You know, before I do that, Aaliyah, I was just, you know, I was reading something that Micah posted on the chat, and I was reminded of when I was doing the Elijah teaching, and I was doing some research, and one of the interesting things is that once Elijah left the place where he was at the brook and he went to where the widow woman was, that town's name, when you translate it back from the Hebrew or you translate it back into English, it actually means the place of smelting or the place of refinery. And, you know, sometimes we go through trials and we think, oh man, you know, what has happened to me, and you know, why am I going through this? But in actual fact, it's the Father taking you to a place so that he can refine you, so that in the end, that gold can be shining through you, so that the work of Yahweh can be done, not in your strength anymore, but in his strength. And that's what he wants. He wants us to rely 150% on him, and not in our own efforts. So, you know, I believe that we are living in the time of the Elijah message, in the time of the final remnant, where the remnant, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, it says that they will be refined, and that the righteous will shine like the stars, and that the others will have to go through another refinement process. And you can read that in the book of Daniel right at the end where it says that. So let's look at our trials not in the negative. Let's look at our trials in the positive, and trust that Yahweh is working in us so that we can be part of his final move upon this earth. And he wants us to be ready. Some of us will be ready. Others of us will have to go through that refinement a little bit longer. But I believe in the end, Yahweh will work his good pleasure in us. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this evening in the name of Yeshua for this great and wonderful opportunity that we have had just to share your word together. And Father, I want to lift up these prayer requests to you tonight. And Father, firstly, I want to just pray for Brother Darby, Yahweh, who has just had his operation. And I really want to pray over him and pray, Father, for a full and 100% recovery. Mm-hmm. I also pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that the pain will subside and that he'll be able just to rest and get the rest that he needs, Father, so that the recovery can be 100%. We also want to pray, Father, for the friend that they put down, Sandrine. We pray, Yahweh, that justice will be done in that situation, Father, as he says that she has lost her job unfairly. We pray, Father, that justice will be done, that righteousness will shine forth, and, Father, that this situation will be turned around for your good, Father. And we also want to pray, as he says, that she is a single mother of two daughters, Father. We pray that they will have everything that they need until she can find a new job or until this situation has been turned around. Father, we also want to thank you this evening that Micah and Brandy have arrived at their destination safely. And Father, we thank you that we know, Yahweh, that this is where they need to be. And Father, that there is going to be a great, great work still done through their lives. And Father, I want to pray that their son Drayton, Father, as Brandy has asked, Yahweh, that he will find, Father, a good friend there. We also thank you, Father, that you who started the good work in Drayton will bring it to completion, Father, until the day that Messiah Yeshua returns. We pray, Father, that this change, Father, in his life will also cause him, Father, to cling to you and to have a renewed heart, Father, and a strengthened heart. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you too this evening for our sister Grace, and Father, we continue to pray for her, and we continue to pray for her situation too, Father. We also ask, Father, that you will restore unto her strength, Father, as she is a light to many people around her, Father, as she said, that are relying on her, Father, for answers and for things. Father, we ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will strengthen her, and that, Father, you will give her wisdom, Father, during this time, and Father, that your voice will be so clear, Father, speaking to her on a daily basis. And Father, it is your voice that enables us. It's your voice, Father, that strengthens us. So we thank you, Father, and we just continue to pray for that situation, Father, that your will be done. And again, Father, I just want to thank you so much this evening, Yahweh, that you are for us and not against us. And Father, that you, as I said, who started the good work in us, Father, will bring it to completion. So we ask, Father, continue to refine us, continue to make us strong, continue, Father, to remove the things in our lives, Father, that hinder us from knowing you in a deeper, more intimate way. Our desire, Father, is to know you. Our desire, Father, is to be the reflection of Messiah Yeshua upon this earth. So we ask for that this evening, Father, and we thank you in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. I also want to thank you, Father, this evening that Aaliyah shared the word with us, Father, that was laid upon our heart. And I believe that it blessed many. And we thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much to each and every single one of you for joining us. It has been awesome to spend this time with you again. And we look forward to praying together on Wednesday. Even if you can't fast with us, pray with us, be with us in spirit. And we'll be lifting each and every single one of you up. And so until next week, we pray that you will have a fantastic Shavua Tov. Also, this weekend, we celebrated the new moon coming for the new biblical month. It is the sixth biblical month, the 12th biblical, it's the sixth biblical month, the 12th month, according to the Jewish calendar, as they celebrated in the civil year. But we know biblically it is the sixth month, but it's also the month of Elul, the month where we know is traditionally celebrated as Yeshua the King being in the field with us, where he comes to really be with us. And it's a time of sincere prayer and just going deeper with him. And so I pray that we will take that with us into this month of Elul, where Elul itself means I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. So may we celebrate the fact that we are the beloved and that he is ours and that we belong to him. So I just pray so many blessings over you this evening. We're going to play out with our final song, Breathe, by Influence Music. May you have a fantastic week and we will see you next time. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
There's a river flowing from the mountain. It shows our God is true. And there's a song rising from the valley. It's our response to you. 'Cause you are God, God of all creation, the earth.